good morning.
Thank you for joining us. We are coming to you from Washington, D.C. Interesting, the nation's capital. I know we're reversing everything today. And I hope that everything is okay with everybody regarding that. I'm going to speak for a moment here to Bo. Pardon me. Hey, Bo, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Can you fix that? I'm echoing in my own ear. All right. We'll hope he can figure that out. Now, in the meantime, when you think about D.C. and all that happens here, and you think of all the corruption, and you think of all of us in flyover country, and I can't help it, and all the incredible power there is here. But I come back to looking forward to this coming week when I am going to be with a pile of ninth graders who are discovering how amazing and how fortunate, how God blessed they are to be born in the greatest nation in the greatest time in the world. It's loud out there, folks. It's loud. It's awful. We can't talk about anything. Everything is loud and ignorant, frankly. And both sides do it. It's very ignorant. People make statements of, I know what it is, it's this, I know what it's that, when they don't. They just parrot some idiot on TV who's politically biased. Doesn't know anything about, I'll make it up, the energy industry. Nothing. Nothing at all. But they have a defining line of, okay, so we have bad energy policy in this country, but my guy is in the White House, so we have to make stuff up. And so the news does. And if people don't know at all anything about the energy industry, and who's going to take the time to learn about all kinds of things unless you're naturally fascinated, people don't. They don't. They'd rather learn about who's bopping who in Hollywood. And it's so loud. It's so obnoxious. We never talk about anything. And here I'm going to be able to see and watch really impressionable ninth graders, great kids, learn about how incredible this nation is, how totally unique it is. I mean, this idea that we're not the greatest in the world is insane. It's crazy. This is the greatest idea in the history of the world. And has built more wealth, more freedom than combined anybody's well wishes anywhere combined. And we take it for granted, and we get angry about it, and we argue about it, and we lie about it. So I'm excited. I'm really super excited about it. I'm super excited. It's been a number of years since I've been here. And it is emotional. If you haven't been, you need to go. And we all need to come back and remember where we came from. We really do. We really do. So I'm excited about this week, even as I watch the markets in turmoil, I listen to our leadership having a hard time putting together a sentence, watching the press figure it out, apologize for the lack of actual intelligent thought or problem solving that's going on. This is not a difficult thing. We all know that. When it comes to energy, we have pipelines that are 95% finished and just blocked. And it's the greenest thing in the world. It is the greenest thing in the world. Wow, what do you mean it's green? Well, is it better to have energy transported by truck and train? Of course not. And it's also dangerous. It's one of the most carbon eliminating things in the world, especially when it comes to natural gas. So it doesn't make any sense. But that doesn't matter if the narrative is destroying the other team, if you will, or the religion of climate change, not the intelligence of, yeah, okay, so let's figure out how to reduce carbon. So we've lost our ability to discuss things. There's no doubt. And the market is definitely having a hard time digesting it. I had a call yesterday from a client, and it was basically, okay, all right, so, you know, what are we buying today? He wants to buy on the dip. And I said, yeah, if you want, but we've got some nice core positions. We can keep some powder dry and see what happens. There's no reason to think the market's going up or down either. We're in this place right now where the market is trying to digest a combination of things. A combination of this soup of high interest rates, ick. But we already know that. In the next hour, I'm going to talk about that. We already know. What we know isn't worth knowing. I know, I've said this before. I've said it for 30 years. But what we have to do is understand how important that is to our own self-governance. What we know isn't worth knowing. It's all priced in. But we think about that. So we have high energy prices, high inflation. I'm not sitting here beating up on Joe Biden because, you know, I don't like the guy. It's because everyone on Wall Street, everyone in a leadership position around the world doesn't believe he's capable of leading. This filters through to the markets. I don't care if you like Joe. It doesn't matter. I'm simply saying this is the feeling of Wall Street, the people that move markets. They're not confident. We're not confident. How could we be? So there's lacking in confidence that we're going to solve the problems that we're all aware of. But we're all aware of them, aren't we? We are all aware of inflation, interest rates, lack of clarity in anything coming from our leadership. We're aware of that. And in spite of it, the virus is going away, regardless of whether we're mask on, mask off, right? Wax on, wax off, mask on, mask off. They can't figure out what they're doing, obviously. So we have a circumstance where it's very difficult, but the world is opening up. And I mean the whole world, not just America. Here I am in the most liberal place, I believe, in the United States, Washington, D.C. Hardly anybody's wearing a mask. We're opening up everywhere. Try to get in a restaurant. You can't anywhere in the country. We're opening up. Sure, we can go ahead and find those few things like it's really hard to hire people. Yeah, it is. I know. I personally know. We all do. All of us employers know that. But in spite of all of the negative news, we are reopening. We really are. We're going to solve the problems of energy. Somebody will listen sometime. And if not, corporations will continue to evolve and work their way around it. They will. We'll find another exporter. They'll fill tanker cars and bring them in from Canada. Whatever it takes, we'll do it. They will do it. And we'll be able to get through until we get people that have the ability to think forward and not just focus on one particular partisan thing. This has always been the case, on the left, on the right. And we lose it, especially when we're in circumstances like this week, when the market was trying to do good, it looked like it was coming back, and then just rolled over and went straight down for 2 days. There's no hurry on anything. The thing that we have to do, there's no hurry to say, I've got to get in the market where this is a dead bottom. No, I don't know that it is. Never do. Why would you think I would now start knowing? The only honesty we have is that we don't know the future. We don't. We can't. We're not allowed to. So we have to be careful with any arrogance about that. But what I know is that these corporations are 80% of the companies that have announced so far are above expectations. That's pretty good. That's above trend line. That's amazing. People aren't cutting numbers, not yet. They've been saying they're going to cut numbers for a year now. They're not. We're reopening. We are reopening. Yes, we've got plenty of problems out there, but that's why we're in this tension right now. And markets often go through these phases, often, where you see this kind of like this rolling correction through, rolling bear market, some people call them, right, where different sectors take 20% hits. Well, we've had that in the NASDAQ, right? The tech stocks have all taken a big hit. Are they done falling? Guess what? I don't know. But then we take other companies out and we go out and shoot them. Other companies in different industries, whether it's a retail, which was doing good, boom, let's blow those guys up now. Bed Bath & Beyond, boom, blow them up. All of this, all the way through. Healthcare stocks, you can't even come close to an industry that is more safe than healthcare stocks. HCA went down over 20% yesterday, one day. A company that was a rocket ship. These rolling corrections, take money from one area, move it to another, are very, very healthy. But they also scare people because the market's choppy. It bounces around. I don't like that. It should go straight up every day all the rest of my life. Or because that's what gold does. No, sorry. That's what real estate does. No, sorry. It doesn't do that either. Cash is getting killed. And this is, again, back to that good news, bad news. What are we going to do with $10 plus trillion? Earning negative returns that are getting scary negative because of inflation. What are we going to do? What about those wonderful bonds? I just want to be safe and hide out in bonds and watch interest rates continue to rise and destroy my capital. You see, you still can't win. So you say, well, I don't think interest rates are going to go up that much more. Hey, that's fine. You can have that opinion. It's what makes markets, right? Okay. Maybe they'll go up a little, maybe not, or I'll go short term, whatever you want to say, to say I want to own bonds. And maybe bonds will go down less than stocks over the next little bit. I don't know. I know everybody's scared. But we have to take a step back and look at it rationally. How can we actually invest money correctly, when we're fearful, so fearful that, in fact, what we'll do is say, I know this investment won't win. I'm going to make it anyway. I know I'm going to lose money. I'm going to make this investment anyway. Why? If you can't beat inflation, so you guarantee you're going to lose, why are we going to make that investment? There ought to be a really good reason. And just on the face of it, I can't come up with one. Right? We can't. And so, again, what we're looking at is, I'm not saying you should just sit there and wait until, you know, somehow God speaks to you that now's the time to go, because it won't. He won't. That blog you're reading, they won't either. We got to stick with our investments, make prudent investments as if our timeline, our objective, what we're trying to do is irrelevant to today's news, because it is. Because you can't know when and what and how to zig and zag. You can't. We can't. We just can't. And so when we look at it and we say, well, okay, so if stocks make the most sense, rising streams of income, all the days of our life, inflation adjusted that I can't outlive, then we make them and we hold them and we own them. But what about a nuclear war? Well, you tell me what you ought to buy in a nuclear war. Because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know what you would own in that circumstance. We have got to keep our heads about this, even as the news cycle doesn't. It doesn't. The news cycle is moronic, but we listen. It is. Do you really think you're learning stuff in a blurb about the airline industry? Energy's on everybody's mind, so why don't we throw that in there? Do you think you understand the infrastructure of the pipelines, how you're drilling a well in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, which, you know, if you like it, you like it. You like to actually have energy. You know, I'm looking out the harbor and I see boats. They actually use energy. It's weird. When we got here, we drove here and we used energy. We actually stopped at one of those awful, evil things called a gas station, right? And where that comes from. And it goes here and it goes there and they refine it and then they bring it all the way here through pipelines so that you go over and you go bloop and you feel it. Or you're a little bit cold, you turn the dial and you're warm. We take all this for granted as if we can solve problems, and you think you're getting real information about the complexity, difficulty of all of these things from some little blurb on the news. It takes work, which is often why many people say, the greatest wisdom comes from just turning it down, shutting it off, thinking about it, thinking about things, not letting people yell at you. And so I get it. The news cycle's difficult. It's loud. It's noisy. It's very difficult. Really hard to stop panicking about everything. It really is. It really is. It takes real work to actually stay with your plan. No question. It does. All right. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. If you're just joining us, then you may notice that we're not recorded. I am live, and the recording with Kevin Miller that I do on Mondays will come back in the second half so we can get about touring the nation's capital. So I'm very excited about this coming week. As I mentioned, I think looking through, they're hardly children at ninth grade, right? They're adolescents, young adults, however you want to say it. But just seeing them, listening to them, appreciate, you know, probably for the first time, truly appreciate. And these are great kids and truly do get a great education. Not a twisted one, but they've been learning about the, you know, our nation's history, and now maybe the being and seeing it and feeling it, that we can all come to a deeper appreciation of how truly blessed we are to be born here in the greatest nation in the world, and all the complaining, all the noise, and it's loud, that goes on. Anyway, with that, I want to switch gears just a little bit. And I'm going to be talking in the next hour, in our next hour, I'm going to be visiting about how it just doesn't matter what we think and know, because it's priced in. What we know isn't worth knowing. And I'll tell you what, as human beings, we can't ever get that. We can't ever think about that enough and talk about it. We know stuff, and so we blow it off. And unfortunately, for most of us, all of us, there's a tendency as we get older to be more and more sure of things we shouldn't be sure about, right? Now, I know. When you're 20 to 30-year-old man, it can serve you well to be sure about things that you don't know anything about. We got to have confidence because we don't know anything. I certainly was that guy. But as we get older, we sometimes get stuck in what I know is what I know. And it's okay to have some experience, but we have to be careful with that, because sometimes things change, and technology changes a lot. It changes a lot. So I'll talk about that in the next hour. What I want to touch on quickly here before we go to our Fox News break is the fact that corporate profits have been so good And so much money has come back from overseas, because this is the argument you're going to hear. We need to raise corporate tax rates because the government needs more money. We got to worry about deficits. And as I've said a zillion times, it is not the budget deficit that's the problem. It's the size of government destroying us with regulation, taxes, and burdening business. That's devastating. You can't even build a flipping road. We now have new legislation out there. Because that would actually require negotiation and laws. We have unilateral bureaucrats just deciding that they are going to impose new regulatory rules. So the idea that we have this new infrastructure bill, this bipartisan infrastructure bill passed, doesn't matter because nothing will get built. Regulation is way more important. And nobody's talking about it. We need to all be talking about it. It is a really big deal because you can't get it built. We don't need more income for the government. We need smaller government. It's always been true for people's freedom everywhere, always. But it certainly is also true economically. And this little data point will help. Corporate tax revenues, since the corporate tax cut went into effect, has exploded. Corporate tax revenue to the government is higher than it was. That's right, it's higher. Well, how can that be? And this is where we get into trouble all of the time. People don't realize when you raise taxes on the 1% or the corporations or somebody other than you, however you want to phrase it, all those greedy people, all this, it's all that, whatever. Okay? We all make up whatever nonsense in our brain. It's not economic at all. We just say this is what it is because this is what I believe. That you can tax some sliver of the people and they will not respond. They won't find tax shelters to put it in. They won't stop working. They won't decide, I'm just simply going to sell the business and roll down the road. I'm done. Because I'm tired. I'm overburdened. I'm overtaxed. I'm overregulated. They will react. And they do every time. Corporations, big, giant, greedy corporations do the exact same thing. If you tell them, we don't want you in the United States, then they won't come here. They will do mysterious, weird, offshore buyouts to find the lower tax rate in Ireland or anywhere in the world. We were the highest tax nation in the world. How does that work? Why is that inviting to corporations to locate here, to create jobs and to innovate and create things and to put money into the treasury? It isn't. And so we get caught up in this, like you're going to be able to tax just a small sliver of people, but they'll never react and revenues won't go down. They always do. They always do. So the simplistic math and then just jawbone it to death is that you're going to raise taxes so you can raise revenues. Not true. The opposite is happening right in our faces. I just wanted to have that data because it's important to understand. Why do people talk about corporate tax rates going down? Tax rates on the wealthy even going down. Why is that good? How is that good? It's great for the economy. Because people stay here. If you beg corporations to leave, they will. If you kick them enough, they'll leave. They'll move. Ask Detroit how well it went when they decided the unions ran the town. That was a boon for the South, wasn't it? Even here in the United States, companies moved. How's that working for California with Tesla moving? Our own backyard, Facebook coming. I know, I don't like Facebook either, but the point is they're coming to town. They're leaving California. They're leaving Nutville. They're leaving it. Corporations move, people move. How's the population base in California? Oh, yeah, they lost two seats. Where'd they go? We all know where they went. Where there's freedom. Freedom to pursue what you want. and not an overburdening bureaucracy. People that are so smart, they know what you need. You don't. You don't know as well as they do. That's where people are going. That's where corporations go. And revenues are showing it. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back after Fox News.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, that is our number. Love to hear from you. And if you're just joining us, you know we are just reversing today's program around. The recording with Kevin will be in the second hour. So we'd love to hear from you at 580-KIDO.
Now, let's, as I was talking about, you know, and I will talk about this in my monologue in the next hour, and that's why it's best if you just give me a call now, okay, so we can talk. But I am going to talk about what we know isn't worth knowing, and this is one of the most difficult concepts for all of us. And I've talked about it before, but I think it's important for all of us to revisit it, if you will, because our own natural tendency is, if you will, our own self-knowledge, our own certainty, and we just aren't certain at all. We can't be certain. Future's unknown. It's frightening. It really is. I mean, really. It's amazing human beings do so well walking around not knowing what in the world is going to happen to them any particular day. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Now, I want to also talk about this and what it feels like. I've said this before, but it feels to me like there's this tipping point out there where it's gotten so absurd, so woke, so crazy. And even when it comes down to this, it's like we can't go far enough extreme away from what America is fast enough. We got to pass everything. Like we need to get rid of the Electoral College. We need to pack the courts. We need to expand the Senate to include certain districts to make sure that the Senate never changes hands again. We need one-party rule because that works really grand out there. And what America is and what it has been, a land of freedom, opportunity, innovation, creation, we don't want that anymore. Seems odd. And it throws all of us off day to day. But it seems to me like we finally reached that tipping point, that absurdity. How does somebody like Donald Trump come up? He comes up because the smarter than us people know better than us, push too far. And we're having it again. But this time with social media, look what Elon Musk is doing. He's no right winger. Goodness gracious. I mean, but the press can't handle it. They can't handle the idea that they're going to lose control of your thought, of the message. The message is only tell them that we got this, that they don't know anything. You got to tell them that. We can't let people think for themselves. We got to put a mask on them and tell them what to think. They got to follow and obey. They want to educate the kids. That's not going to happen. Not on our watch. The unions, the teacher unions will decide that. Not parents. No way. And it just goes on. And you think about what happened in Virginia. Right there. There's Virginia. I'm looking at it. What happened at this last election was incredible. That can't happen. And it happened like a year after the 2020 elections. That fast. So maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like we're reaching a tipping point. What's going on with Disney? So this is an email I got, and I thought it was just great. Can we lose Disney from the portfolio? I can smell it from here. They're right. They're so right.
This is a company, and this CEO will not lose his job. That's really sad, isn't it? I mean, they reach the top. They're worth $100 million, right? I mean, just like, boom, you know, shareholders, they all paid. You're worth millions. You're awful at your job. You're so bad, you decide, oh, there's a few people in Disney that are angry with me, so why don't I make the rest of the country really angry, and the state, and one of the states that we're located in with our biggest operation, we're going to really irritate them, and they're on the other side. So they're going to lose their special district. Don't worry, folks. He'll keep his job. Does this remind you of any politician anywhere, or most, where I just like twist into the wind? Oh, you want me to go here? Go here. Want me to say this? I'll say that. I have no compass. I have no core. I have no belief. I am not a leader. Just make me CEO. Watch me go. But I won't lead. I will follow. I'm a good follower. It's incredible. I don't know how people get into these positions. But they won't be removed. That's the strange thing. It is a strange thing. And that's why the real businesses in our country, the real ones that move and shake and change things, are entrepreneurs that come up with grand ideas and run with them. And they fail or they succeed, but they weren't put into that position and just are not capable. It's the driver of all of our freedom, all of our ingenuity. It's amazing how this just shows how important it is. But anyway, so I appreciate the email. That's true. Disney is just, again, it's a tipping point. Are you a CEO, a woke CEO, now going, whoops, maybe I shouldn't just talk about this. Maybe we should talk about corporate profits. Actually, why don't we talk about how we're going to grow our streaming service or whatever it is, instead of worrying about whether we ought to be teaching kindergartners gender identity. I know, it's just gone so far and so weird, but are we maybe reaching a tipping point? It is important. It's important to the direction of everything. It's a financial question, education, everything question. Where are we going when we allow a few woke people, they're asleep. I don't know where woke comes from. Weirdness. Maybe we can come up with a new acronym for woke. Anyway, it's bizarre. We've lost it. Have we reached a tipping point? Maybe so. All right, our final break this hour coming up, and when we hit the other side, let's give us a call. It's 580-5436, 580-KATE-IDEO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KATE-IDEO. Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. I am at the nation's capital, so looking forward to, very much forward to, touring around with a passel of ninth graders and to our nation's capital. And I know one of the parents that's coming is actually works in our office, and I know how much he and I enjoyed coming here years ago and touring around, and it'll be fun to watch his son and others just to learn about how great this nation is. It's just a refresher, if you will, right? A refresher of appreciation for being born in the greatest nation in the greatest time. I mean, we've won the lottery. There's just nothing more, really, you could ever want but an opportunity to be born here. And we got that. All of us got that. And it's good to come back and try to and make yourself remember that, right? Just get in there and remember it. So we're in this difficult time. It's loud. It's focused. It's political. Everything's still political. But it doesn't need to be when we think about our investments. It really shouldn't be.
believing that since your guy is in office, that things will be good, or the other guy, things will be bad. There's no way to govern your investments at all, right? I mean, who would think that? Well, from an abstract perspective, we wouldn't. We never would. We don't think it's a good idea to be emotional about our investments. But how often do you think I might have taken calls in the last 40 years that are emotionally charged? I can't, not another 2008. I can't go through what happened in 2000. Yeah, we can. And this isn't even close to that. But it feels like it. It's always emotional. It's what this is about. I know we don't think it is. We never do. We think we're grand at all kinds of things. We think we're just wonderful that we could just, you know, slip right by listening all day long to angry people talk about how the other side is god-awful human beings. But it has no effect on us. I'm way above that. We all think that. But we also, worse, we think about it from a standpoint, too, of how it will affect our investments. But I'm not emotional about my investing. Oh, no. I don't act like that. I'm a thinking person. As you know, I've been doing this a long time. And what I find remarkable is that sometimes nothing changes. Everything changes, right? I get it. Everything changes. But some things and some aspects about human beings, they never change. And some people will never change. I mean, they would never tell you I won't change because they're stubborn about not recognizing the fact that they will never change, right? I mean, it's, wow, we can get boxed in so terribly about things. Yeah, it's good to have some core beliefs and all those things, but core beliefs also need to be measured with some thought about what we may be doing wrong, what we may be thinking wrong. And when we get in times like this, there's a lot of emotion, and nobody thinks. I've never met anybody that goes, you know, in a crisis, I look for the most emotional person I can find, and that's who I want to follow. Okay. Never heard that as a tip for survival. I've never heard people say, what I want to do is I want to run my life by pure raw emotion. I want to make my decisions, my investment decisions, when I'm scared or greedy. That's what I want to do. Nobody says that. Nobody thinks that. Nobody should. But what we have to do, too, is acknowledge that, in fact, emotions play a huge part in our lives and in our investment lives. And when we get in times like this, it's really good, I think, to just stop and recognize that it's not all that bad. Corporate profits are at all-time highs. Dividends are at all-time highs. Interest rates are still extremely low. And what we already know, and I'll talk about this in a few minutes, what we already know isn't worth knowing because it's already priced in. What you know and are certain about, energy prices are high, inflation is there, interest rates are going higher. Uh-huh. They are. Good call. Do you want to tell me something we, all people, don't already know? Hasn't already been priced into the markets? Yet we cling to that instead of admitting and knowing and understanding what emotional creatures we are, where that danger lies. We need to be smart about this. We really do. Super smart. And not be emotional. Take a step back. This has always worked. There always will be corrections. Don't worry about it so much. All right. You hear the music. We're going to be rolling out of here, and we'll be back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, we're going to be wrapping up the show early today as the recording with Kevin is coming on. And after all, I'm 2 hours ahead, behind, however you want to think about it. Lost 2 hours going east. I'm in the nation's capital now. And so we're going to get off and go enjoy. But I wanted to talk about all of the information that we know. What we know isn't worth knowing. And this just happens all the time in my, you know, as I'm reading through and thinking about things, what to share and what is talked about out there in the news, right? And I'll be honest with you, I don't really watch a lot of news. I read because it doesn't yell at me. And I think things like the Wall Street Journal are honest journalism at its finest, at its most real, not dishonest, you know, partisan yelling and screaming. I think it's very important for us to get thoughtful information. But as we look at it and where we find all of our certainty in life, and we do seem to have a lot of certainty, right? We know what we know. And by golly, don't try to change my mind. That often happens. It really does. And I get that we all have certain things that we cling to, principles, if you will. But sometimes when we think about it, we get not just clinging to those, we use those as a baton, if you will, or a sword to fight off any other perspective, to allow it in. And that happens to us. But what really I'm really focused on regarding that is what we know isn't worth knowing is because it's already priced into the markets. And we have a really hard time understanding that. How can you buy stocks during a war? Well, how about World War II? How'd that go? Very well. Well, because, you know, they made bombs, you know, and then the Depression ended, and that's what happened. No, don't just make an excuse that this war is different. But people do. The fear of a war in the Middle East leading up to the invasion of Iraq. You can't do it. In fact, really, the especially the greenies were out there yelling and screaming about how as soon as the bombs hit the sand, they would ignite the oil, and we would have the end of the world. Remember that? I most certainly do. That, of course, didn't happen, and nobody apologized, and we roll on to the next, how we are going to put disaster on the event. Now, We naturally gravitate towards a disaster. But when you say, well, what are you doing with interest rates rising? I mean, we literally at the office have had people that are saying, so what are you going to do with the portfolio? You know, interest rates are going up. So what are you doing? Okay. Wow. I'm so glad you called because I wasn't aware interest rates were going up. Right? I mean, it's like we think we know things that are like everybody does. So what's the deal? But this is the way we operate. It is. And we have to understand because we get caught up right in the emotion. Like, this is my money. This is my portfolio. So what are you doing with what they're yelling at me every single day? It's priced in. It's priced in. It's not a news item that interest rates are going up. It's not a news item that inflation is real. It's not a news item that energy prices are up and that affects food and affects everything else. But we think it's new. It's news and nobody's reacted to it. It's like this week. So the market went down because the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates potentially more aggressively. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Honestly, just think about this. Okay, so the Fed is saying, has said, this is not predictive, this is what they're saying. And we all know, you can certainly have predicted they were saying this, going to say this too, but we're going to raise interest rates like 2% dead minimum, maybe 3%. So over a very short period of time, over the next 6 months, that's what we're going to do. All right. So the fact now that they're going to raise it a half a point now and maybe a half next month is like, is this shocking to the markets? According to the news, it is a shocking event. Unprecedented. Incredible. Wow, this is why the market was reacting this day to what it already knew was going to happen. No, this is not why. This is not news. It's already known. So sitting there with a 1% 10-year treasury and wondering if that's a good idea is not a new question. Wow. Now they're going to raise more aggressively with my 10-year treasury. I wonder if I should keep it. No, you keep it if that's what you're doing, but you don't keep it because this is news. It's not news. It's already known and already priced into the market, which is why we have this other thing called a flat yield curve, maybe an inverted yield curve. As the Fed raises rates, the long end of the curve, which already knows that interest rates are going up, that we have inflation, and I don't want to tie up my money for the next 10 years at like 2%. I want more. Has already raised those rates, and they're comfortable where they are. It's not news. That's not controlled by the Fed. But we think it is something we need to be reacting to. Did you know there was inflation? Uh-huh. Did. Thank you. Not a news item that we were going to hit last month the highest inflation since 1980. Was not news. Was not unpredicted. Unknown. Completely known. Completely priced in. What we know isn't worth knowing. We knew that QE 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 were printing gobs and gobs and trillions of dollars. And when they stopped, we knew the world would end. But it didn't. We don't always know. We're not always right. But collectively, everything's priced in. But we all think we're so smart. And being right once every 30 years is not being right. It's being really, really wrong. Being stuck on what we believe when it's wrong is wrong. Not because you have a blip in time when markets correct or move whatever doomsday prediction you have. That's not right. And this is why so many of us don't talk about getting rich quick. We talk about basic things like owning the great corporations of the world, even owning them collectively. Own the great corporations of the world is fine. If you own them, and some of them come and go, they go out of business, they disappear, the capital goes somewhere else. It's called creative destruction. It's a beautiful thing. When we get caught up in the day-to-day noise, we lose a perspective that the market has grown 10% all of our life. Not with the same companies. Different ones. We lose a perspective that when we have really bad politicians, and once in a while we get a really good one, a Ronald Reagan comes by once in a generation, huh? Unfortunately, it's hard to believe that we're that bad at picking our leaders. But we are. And it doesn't matter because we just keep going. If we can just get out of our own way through bad leaders, good leaders, bad policy, good policy, high tax rates, lower tax rates. I'm not sure we've ever had lower tax rates. We've done well through budget deficits, inflationary periods. Disinflationary. And we lose sight of the fact that productivity continues to increase. The reason that I believe that we're not going to have runaway inflation for long, we have it now, is from technology. Technology solves. Technology is productivity. It's productivity in a box. It means I don't have to hire as many people at an accelerating wage. It means you can get things done when there aren't enough workers. It means that businesses can do things more efficiently. That's productivity. It's why we can have, as just a snapshot in the whole wide world, at our office, we can have 8 times the business we had just over 10 years ago and the same number of people, multiplied by every business in the world to some degree. It's true of everywhere. We give up on it. We don't think about it. We think about what's right in our face. And we think about that in a negative type of way. But also, more importantly, we think we know stuff that we really just don't know. We really don't know. We don't know how we're going to react to QE 1, 2, 3, and 4 unwinding. That wasn't inflationary. It wasn't. That Europe, 1, 2, 3, 3 years in a row, Europe, the pigs nations, right? Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain. They were all going to take us down. And then even Crete, the Rock of Crete. I don't even want to call it an island, so tiny. The Rock of Crete was going to take the world down. Greece, with a GDP the size of Vermont, going to wipe us out. People believe it. They knew it. So even when we think we know things and how it's going to come out, do we really know how the markets are going to react to it? No, we don't. We don't. Markets are people. People are unpredictable. And they are. And it's very interesting. But what we know is not just, it's not trying to make a humble, falsely humble statement. What we know isn't worth knowing. It's what we know we have to understand is also known. It's really rare to have truly unique, different thought that's correct, right? Crazy thought, of course, you could have. But having unique thought that isn't already priced in, that is different and weird. What we know isn't worth knowing, and I just think that's just something we need to tell ourselves all the time. When we're thinking about our investments, when we're thinking about positioning, we're thinking about worrying about stuff. It doesn't deserve our time to worry about. It's priced in. You can also say, I think it's going to get worse than the consensus. You may be right. I think it's going to get better than the consensus. You may be right. And that's, of course, where we have to be careful with our own individual arrogance about how right we are or how certain we are. But the reality is that's the only difference, right? That's the only difference. Because otherwise, we really don't know. And it is priced in. And we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be aware of it. What you're seeing on the news is known and priced by the markets every single day. It's not news. It's a historic report. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.